This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
Get the whole band together with Workday and pair finance and HR on one platform for an epic performance. With Workday AI at the core, you'll make confident decisions faster than ever, and you'll drive flawless business and finance operations with an agile platform that constantly evolves to future-proof your organization. Be a finance and HR rockstar with Workday. Visit Workday.com to learn more.
Double J, Jeff Jarrett, here to tell you a little bit about the nonstop savings happening over here at SaveWithConrad.com. Are high credit card balances holding you down on the card? If you're looking to give a guitar shot to your credit card debt or give your home the push it deserves with some upgrades and remodeling, you need to go to SaveWithConrad.com. That's right, SaveWithConrad.com. Conrad and his team are routinely helping my world listeners save $500, $600, $700, even $800 a month. Oh, did I mention you get to skip your next two house payments? Take a cue from The Last Outlaw, because if anybody knows how to get the bag, it's me. Strut on over to SaveWithConrad.com today and see how much money you can save for free. That's right, it's SaveWithConrad.com.
NMLS number 32416, Equal Housing Lender.
SaveWithConrad.com.
How's it going, everyone? It's time for Strictly Business here on the Ad-Free Shows and Podcast Heat Networks. I am John Alba. Normally, I'm joined by the man of the hour, as I like to call him, Mr. Eric Bischoff. But Eric had travels this week that unfortunately held him up. But I did not want to go without getting you an episode of Strictly Business, at least delivering some new content. I know this show is one of the most listened to in all of the professional wrestling industry for podcasts. We're so appreciative of that, and I wanted to make sure that we got to talk a little bit about the business of the business, plus give you a super fun interview. In just a little bit, you're going to hear a one-on-one with Top Dollar, AJ Francis, whatever you want to call him. He's killing it right now in the wrestling industry. Now, normally when people get released from WWE or AEW, they talk about reinventing, but instead, we're going to talk with AJ about what it's like presenting yourself authentically in the same character that you were in WWE and trying to prove to the world that there is money to be made off of that. It's a really great conversation. I hope you stick around for it. I did, though, want to talk about some of the happenings going on in the pro wrestling world. Of course, the biggest piece of news as far as the business of the business is concerned, that being AEW Big Business, the debut, the official debut after months of speculation of Mercedes Moné, the former Sasha Banks. She opened up this show at the TD Garden. As you recall, AEW took the CM Punk approach with promoting this show, never quite directly referencing that she would be appearing. They did not advertise her officially, even if there were many, many hints that Mercedes would be debuting here. About 3-4 hours before showtime, they were around 7,300 tickets or so. But she put out a post on X teasing it directly about 3 hours or so before the gates opened. And AEW ended up pushing an extra 2,000 tickets off of that. So per WrestleTix and Dave Meltzer, they had about 9,400, 9,500 fans in the building. One of the higher attendances for Dynamite to date so far. They sold well merchandise-wise, but the show did deliver viewership-wise numbers that were slightly disappointing for what I think they were hoping for. The show was up slightly from last week's episode of Dynamite, averaged 801,000 viewers. It did a 0.27 demo, which was the same as last week. Now, Mercedes quarter, not that you can base everything off the quarter hours, of course, but Mercedes quarter did draw about a million viewers, which was, in its own right, it was a good number. But throughout the course of the show, things did change. So we did see a drop from her and from the show where she was no longer appearing. I think people get caught up in the semantics of the quarterly sometimes and maybe not fully understanding. They are complicated. We're looking at means. We're looking at averages of total viewership over that particular quarter. It doesn't necessarily mean this was the peak, this was the valley. It's a little deeper than that. But I was surprised more than anything, and this is something that Eric and I have talked a lot about, is show structure, right? And a few weeks ago, we were very complimentary of AEW and how they did it with the Young Bucks looking for Sting during his final Dynamite, and they started the show right near the top with it, and multiple times throughout the night, they established this was the A story, you're going to go back and revisit it, until we got the payoff in the main event. And they're teasing throughout the night that it's leading towards something in the main event. Whereas with this, Mercedes comes out, she cuts this, I thought was a pretty good promo to start the show. And she announces the women's main event between Rio and Willow Nightingale. And there's essentially no tease that she's going to be involved. Now, if you're familiar with the formula of watching pro wrestling, you probably figured she might show up. But the general audience didn't, evidently, and there was a significant drop from when the show started to the actual main event, and they missed Mercedes Moné coming back and helping Willow Nightingale fight off the heels in Sky Blue and Julia Hart at the end of this show. I really would have loved to have seen Mercedes Moné backstage a couple times throughout the night. They're clearly trying to present her as a big star. She had the CEO chance in her entrance that caught on pretty quickly. But let's see her interacting with female talent. Let's get some teases of potential feuds that you're going to see. I'd go even a step further. I'd have her interacting with some of the men bigwigs. Throw her out there in the back with Bryan Danielson or Jon Moxley. Tell your audience that she is on the same level and the same playing field as a lot of these top guys in the company. I think that really would have established a lot of equity for Mercedes Moné. I think it may have kept some viewers to see if she was going to be part of the main event or interfere at some point in some juncture, or even at the end of that first promo, have her say, I'm going to be watching that main event closely. It's simple retainership of viewers and giving them breadcrumbs of what they're going to see. I admire the idea in wrestling that we want surprises. I think that's great. Surprises always make wrestling more fun. But I just don't believe that the Mercedes Moné name, and I mean that specific name, has the same established equity as Sasha Banks per se. I think people still look at her through the vehicle of the Sasha Banks moniker and the general scheme here. So could you look back in hindsight and say, yeah, you know, they probably should have promoted this ahead of time more, just announce that she's going to be there. A lot of the smart fans know she's going to be there. Try to put it out there into the ether that Mercedes Moné is going to appear. Maybe you move more tickets. Maybe more people are tuned in throughout the course of the show. It's easy to say those things in hindsight, of course. I think the circumstances were different with CM Punk back in 2021. We were talking about someone who had a 7-year layoff in wrestling. Fans were just coming back. This was off the end of the pandemic days, where I think only 3-4 weeks earlier, AEW had its first Dynamite back with fans. So they run Rampage. It's only the second episode ever. They fill out the United Center with it. So things have just changed in that sense, right? It's not apples to apples. And while Mercedes Moné is a big star, I do truly believe that she can bring eyes to the women's division in AEW. I think there's an opportunity to collect on that value. Maybe you can argue that it was not capitalized on in the best way here. But now you play the waiting game, right? You play the long game. You see, are people going to be interested? Are people going to now see that she's there? Are you going to get some of those Mercedes Moné, Sasha Banks fans who maybe weren't totally on the pulse that she'd be on this episode? Will they follow her? That's yet to be seen. But she's going to be prominently featured on this program. I wouldn't be surprised if she's in the first female pay-per-view main event spot at some point for AEW. And we will find out what happens from there. Again, probably would have advertised her, even going into this before we knew what the viewership numbers are. I think they were kind of banking on her to have the same brand value as CM Punk. And Sasha Banks' name maybe does, but the Mercedes Moné name, especially with her missing 10 months of action, probably just doesn't. So you live and learn, and we will see what happens. I thought there was some good stuff on this episode of Dynamite, but I do worry, too, about one of my biggest constructive pieces of feedback for storytelling in AEW is so many times they'll get someone hot, they'll heat someone up, and they just never quite ride them all the way. And we saw that with Wardlow once again, getting the opportunity. I mean, the match really never had a quality near fall where it painted him as a believable contender. But on the positive side, I mean, Will Ospreay just looked absolutely phenomenal in his promo segment, came off as a big-time player, big-time star. Gonna have to see if that's followed up on as well. I feel like that's what we hear about all the time with AEW. How will they follow up on it? And again, show structure plays so much into that. And the way the show was structured, I think, is a big reason why we didn't see a great number for this, at least a number that they were anticipating. Now, does a mediocre number or a bad number or a great number, should that influence your enjoyment of a product? No, I don't believe that. I believe if you enjoy a product, you enjoy a product. Stories are being told. It's just a matter of, are these stories compelling to you or not? That's what Eric and I always debate. You know, a lot of times he'll say, oh, there's no story being told. And my argument's always going to be, there are stories. If you're watching this program, stories are being told. It's just a matter of, do you find the story compelling or not? Do you find how these characters are positioned to be compelling or not? And there are plenty of arguments to go both ways with all of that. But I am curious to see how Mercedes is positioned going forward, how she is promoted going forward. And if we see more threading, I mean, it paid off in that Sting Darby episode where the Bucks were looking for them all episode long. They threaded that needle throughout the course of the show. And hopefully we will see that followed more closely in the upcoming weeks as far as Mercedes Moné is concerned. I'm going to have a few WWE notes on the other side of our interview with AJ Francis. I'm really excited for you to check this one out. For those of you who don't remember, AJ was part of Hit Row. He was released from WWE twice. He's been crushing it right now with TNA, doing some work with MLW on the Indies, GCW, former NFL player who is now trying to leverage his name value, and he believes he's bringing brand value and opportunities to these other promotions. So without further ado, please enjoy my chat with AJ Francis. So this is an interview that we've wanted to have here on Strictly Business for a while now. We had him ready to come, and then this big lawsuit that some of you have probably heard about at some point broke, so we had to push some things back. But finally, able to bring AJ Francis back on to Strictly Business. Dala, just crushing it all around, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Blessed. Got a lot of opportunities. A lot of people want to work with Dala, man, and it's cool because I went from being the ugly girl at the dance to the pretty girl in college. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, now, now I'm out here and everybody's inviting me to their frat formals and, you know, their all these events and, you know, used to, I couldn't even get an invite to the Sandy Hawkins dance. You know what I'm saying? So now it feels good.
Well, for what it's worth, I never thought you were the ugly girl at the dance, but that is a really interesting analogy to make because I want to dive into that and how you go about making yourself that attracted person that people want part of their brand, people want part of their shows, and how you maintain those open options and do things on your own terms. Because I feel like that's where any form of this like independent contracting freelancing work is, it's doing things on your own terms. So how liberating has that been since your recent WWE departure to kind of blaze your own path and do things the way you want to?
It's great, man. It's I'm doing what I always knew I could do. I intentionally have not changed my wrestling gear. I have not changed my entrance attire. I have not changed the way that I talk. I'm doing everything exactly how I was doing it at that three-letter company in the sky. And I'm doing that intentionally because I want to prove that it could have worked if I had a chance. And the thing is, it's like, on top of that, like, WWE doesn't need me to get them exposure, right? Like, WWE can call the NFL or the Big 12 or Pat McAfee or whoever else they want to get whatever exposure they want whenever they want it. They're the biggest, one of the biggest brands in the world. But the thing is like the level of access that I have to a lot of different things, like Super Bowl Media Row, like the Pat McAfee Show, you know, like Scott Van Pelt's show on ESPN, like my ability to be on ABC, NBC, like when I hosted the Cheez and Citrus Bowl, right? Like, you know, like all of those things. Other companies absolutely need that level of access. They need that level of exposure. They need someone to put their brand out there. So, like, you know, I was just at a charity basketball game in my hometown where Gillian Wallow, two of the biggest, you know, names in hip hop and one of the biggest podcasts in the world, the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast, you know, they hosted the game, and Lou Young, crazy internet celebrity, was there, you know. Indio Champ, crazy internet celebrity, was there. You know, the list goes on and on. People like 3-0 Black, people like a Funny Salesman, people like some of the biggest names in the music industry and all internet personalities were all at the event. And we were able to give brand exposure to TNA because of that. And, you know, like I said, TNA needs that level of exposure. NWA needs that level of exposure. MLW needs that level of exposure. GCW needs that level of exposure. CCW needs that level of exposure. I can go on and on and on. So, you know, when I bring my former NFL teammate and four-time Pro Bowler, whose jersey's hanging right here behind me, this is backwards, yeah, right here behind me, right? Brent Grimes to CCW, an independent wrestling show, people think I'm crazy. When they're like, how do you do that? When DJ Who Kid pulls up in a Lamborghini to GCW in Tampa, people are like, why is DJ Who Kid here? They're there because of me. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm able to bring a different level of access and celebrity and ability to these companies that don't really get it all the time. And because of that, that makes me that much more of a valuable asset. Like I said, WWE doesn't need that. Like, WWE doesn't need me to get Snoop Dogg and Lil Uzi Vert to come to WrestleMania. Like, they just don't, right? That's just a matter of fact. But me being able to use my connections helps every other company in the world.
Sure. And I guess the natural follow-up to that is, why is that important to you? Because, like, and I mean this very respectfully, but also to put it bluntly, you don't need pro wrestling. You had an NFL career. You've put your foot in a bunch of different toes within the sports media landscape. So why is it worth it for you to try and make these companies that you're doing work for have more of a platform, get bigger? Because as you just said with WWE, one day you might not be needed for that sort of thing.
Because I love wrestling. Like, I grew up loving wrestling. And I loved wrestling before I was a wrestler. I went to 5 WrestleManias as a fan. I've been to Royal Rumble as a fan. I've been to Survivor Series. I've been to every major show as a fan except Money in the Bank. And technically, I was at last year's Money in the Bank in the back not doing anything, so I was a fan then too. I love wrestling. I love it. And I always have. And anyone who watched the show Most Wanted Treasures knows that. And anyone who knows me in real life knows that. I've replaced watching every single wrestling show every week with being a wrestler. It's still a massive part of my life. And there's no feeling like being inside that ring. There isn't. I played on Thursday Night Football, Thanksgiving night, 10 million people watching at home versus the New York Giants, made a TFL in order for us to win the game. That doesn't compare to being in the ring. It doesn't. It doesn't to me. It doesn't compare. I've done everything you can imagine in sports. I've been all over the world. The most fun I ever have is when I'm in that ring in front of that crowd. And people who have done it understand that, and I am at a point now where, like, I was never in wrestling for the money. Like, yeah, WWE paid me great, but I was never in wrestling to get paid. I was in wrestling because I love it. I don't need the money. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm here because I give a damn. And now, because of how it ended in WWE last time, it's like, you don't think you can use me? You don't think you got something for me? Oh, okay, I'm going to show you exactly how well somebody can use me if they actually give me a chance. And now you see me on TNA doing the exact same things I was doing and trying to do, at least, at WWE. And people were like, wow, I love this new version of AJ Francis. I'm like, this is the same AJ Francis. This is just AJ Francis with a microphone, bro. It's no different.
What's so interesting about this to me, though, AJ, is that whereas a lot of people, when they leave a company or they get fired or whatever it may be, they talk about, oh, I got to reinvent myself. You're not taking that approach. You are very matter of fact about trying to be your most authentic self and putting that on TV. Why is that so important to you?
Because it's important to me because I know I'm good enough. I don't have to reinvent anything. I don't have to change how I talk or change what I do. I know that I was always good enough. I know that when given the opportunity with a microphone, there's nobody on earth that can stand 6 feet away from me and overpower me. I know that. And if anybody has a problem with me saying it, I dare you to try, right? You notice all these guys that I've ever been, I've had the promo segment with Joe Hendry. I've had the promo segments with LA Knight. I've had these promo segments where all these people get to talk, but guess who doesn't get to talk back? There's a reason for that. There are intentions behind that. There are reasons why that doesn't happen. It's because I would embarrass them. Everyone knows it. That's why no one ever says anything back when I say things like this. I will embarrass anybody on the microphone, and I don't give a damn who you are. And if I'm wrong, prove to me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me you think you can do it. Give me the opportunity to promo with you and see what happens. But it never happens. You want to know why? Because I know that I'm good enough. I know that my ability is God-given, that I didn't work for it. It was just given to me. And because of that, I don't have to sit here and pretend that it's not worthy of all the praise in the world because he gave it to me. So if anybody has a problem with anything I say, say it. I don't ever hear nobody say nothing. I'm good enough as I am. I don't have to make – Top Dollar was a name, but it wasn't – it was just me. Like, I would come out and cut promos. I would rap. Like, I was rapping before I was wrestling. So it's like, I don't have to change up anything. When they say – they call me the Cheez-It champion on TNA. Yeah, because Cheez-It dropped a bag on my head because they believe in everything that I do. Like, come on, man. That's why I'm the Cheez-It champion. Y'all wish I was the Cheez-It champion. You wish you could get a bag from Cheez-It, man. So, like, stop pretending I'm not him.
Yeah. No, and it's a really unique situation, too, because so many times we see an indie wrestler get signed. They try to bring their indie character to WWE, to AEW, to wherever they end up, right? But you're in a situation, and we're starting to see this a little more. We saw it with Cardona even, where you're embracing this role of being the WWE jerk, for lack of better terms, coming in and bringing that larger-than-life character, which is very authentic to you, into the indies and almost serving as like an antithesis to what an indie wrestler is. Have you found that to be successful for you, and what is your methodology with that?
I mean, yeah, I found it to be successful, but I'm not actively trying to do that. That's just who I am. There's no indie wrestler that can get on the Pat McAfee show other than me, period. There's no indie wrestler that Cheez-It and ABC are going to drop a bag on your head for you to stand there and hold a title belt but me. There's no indie wrestler that can get access to Super Bowl Media Row but me.
Sure.
Like, so it's like – those people don't exist. There's no other indie wrestler would have been invited to Gillian Wallow's charity basketball game this past weekend but me. Like, those people don't exist. I'm that person. So when I bring that larger than life persona to a show, it's because I'm that person. I'm not having to act like I'm larger than life. I'm larger than life. Mm-hmm. Let's do some math. 1% of 1% of 1% of high school football players play in the NFL. 1% of wrestlers make it to WWE. Top 1% of wealth on earth right now. 1 in 4 black men graduate college. 1 in 3 black men go to jail. I'm on the right side of all those statistics. I'm one of one. That's a fact.
Yeah.
So it's like, and then of the 1 in 4 black men that graduate college, like 1 in 5 of those black men get a master's degree. I'm at a different level on this planet than every other person walking around. And that's not me being an asshole. That's me stating a fact. Look at the numbers.
Yeah.
Do the math. Right.
Well, what I've always admired about you, and most people probably don't even know, is, but I first met you, what, 6 years ago now when you were training at the.
You were my first wrestling interview ever.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. Team 3D Academy in Orlando when I was a reporter.
I just stopped playing in the NFL. Yeah. I just started training. You were my first ever media interview in wrestling. That's a fact.
Wow. Wow. And I was just working for the local news outlet there. And I saw your story and I just thought it was so interesting. But what I was going to say is when I met
before you get to your question, you got me some heat too.
I got you heat.
Yeah, you got me heat because they were told that you were coming to do a story about the school. And then when you showed up and heard about me and saw me, the story became about me being at the school. So I got a little heat. I got a little heat, bro.
Guess
I got
what?
A little heat, bro.
The character is more interesting than the environment. Sorry, like that's the reality of it.
I mean, you're right.
And believe me, I did plenty of stories with the Team 3D Academy. Devon got his fill with me, but including multiple people who went on to get signed by WWE, which was very cool. Dawkins kid, which was really cool, and there were a few others too. But I was going to ask you, you know, when I met you, you just exuded this confidence where. It's noticeable that a lot of people around you can learn from something like that. How does confidence help a pro wrestler stand out in the space and get opportunities beyond wrestling in a ring a couple times a week on TV? Because I think that's something a lot of people who listen to this who are in the industry would crave to have more knowledge and insight on.
All right, let's run a timeout right now. Before you know it, man, it's going to be Mother's Day. It's going to be Father's Day. And that's a lot of pressure for all of us. How do we really show our appreciation to the people who taught us everything? How can we make sure that they know that we care? I'll tell you this, it's not a pack of ties or a pack of socks or a pack of underwear or a gift card to mom's favorite Italian restaurant in the mall. Listen, here's the reality. You don't remember what you gave mom for Mother's Day last year, and she doesn't remember what you gave her either. Let me tell you a little life hack. Here's how to give a gift that she'll never forget. It's paintyourlife.com. You see, at paintyourlife.com, you can get a hand-painted portrait created to fit almost any budget, and it's the perfect gift for both your mom, your dad, or both. I've done it for both my mom and my dad. Hey, I've even done it for my father-in-law, even some cousins. Anytime I have a special occasion, the birth, the death, the birthday, the anniversary, Christmas, Mother's Day, Father's Day, paintyourlife.com has made me look like a superhero every time. And it's much more affordable than you might think. Here's how it works. You upload any photo of a special place, a special pet who's no longer with us, maybe a loved one who's no longer here. You can even combine photos. What if grandpa never got to meet his grandson? Well, he can with paintyourlife.com. In fact, we could put them in grandpa's favorite boat, in grandpa's favorite vacation house. Whatever it is, paintyourlife.com can make it happen for your family. They're looking to get those waterworks going. That's my favorite part of paintyourlife.com is seeing the expression of my family members and the people I really care about tear that paper, and then they just get paused for a minute. And you can tell they're trying to compose themselves. Man, I've never seen somebody get emotional about a pair of socks or a gift card. It's never happened. But with paintyourlife.com, it happens every time. And they make it so easy, too. You pick your artists. You choose the medium. Like, do you want it to be oil or acrylic or, hey, even charcoal? They can even go ahead and get it to you framed. The whole process to get started with a custom-made, hand-painted portrait is less than 5 minutes, and you can get it in as little as 2 weeks. But what's really great is you're working really closely with the artist you pick, meaning they're going to send you like proofs. Hey, how are we looking so far? Are you happy so far? Do you want any changes? You have that level of input. They want to get it perfect. They want to nail it for your special occasion. And really, it's great for every special occasion. As I mentioned, I've given this for Christmas. I've given it for births. I've given it for graduations. I've given it for Mother's Day, for Father's Day. And those are right around the corner. I highly recommend this, and I want you to give the most meaningful gift you've ever given with PaintYourLife.com. And there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money's refunded, guaranteed. And right now, as a limited time offer, you can get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off and free shipping. Now to get this special offer, just text the word weeks to 87204. That's weeks to 87204. Text weeks to 87204. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. Message and data rates may apply. See paintyourlife.com/terms for details. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
I mean, I can't teach you how to be confident. I can't teach you to believe in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, why the hell should anybody else? I'm confident because everything I've ever wanted to do, I did. People told me I couldn't start in high school, and I went to one of the best high schools in the world, Gonzaga. People told me I wouldn't get a college scholarship, and I got 25 of them and decided to go to Maryland. People told me I couldn't play in the NFL, and I played 6 years in the NFL. People told me I couldn't get to WWE, and I was there a year after leaving the NFL. So it's like I don't care what people think. I have a supreme confidence in myself at all times, and that's something you have to have if you want to be successful in this business. Like, even guys like, look at Ric Flair. Ric Flair talks about losing his confidence, but when he got his confidence back, he was back to being Ric Flair. You know what I'm saying? Like people can lose their confidence in this business because this business is full of people that tell you you ain't shit. And they'll tell you that you'll never be nothing. They'll tell you all the things that they think you should do, but they couldn't do themselves, right? I don't care what anyone's opinion about what I do is. Some people lack confidence in themselves. Not much that I can do there. Don't try to make me humble because I'm the only person that's going to tell myself that I'm great. That's what Dame Dash said. So it's like, don't ever try to make me humble. Don't ever try to tell me what I shouldn't be confident about because on in low days when I need to dig myself out, I'm the only person that's there for me. And that's how they need to operate. When I got released from WWE, I was mad, but I sat there and I was literally, this is a true story. I was literally after Dan Ventrell, who good guy, called me to let me know that I was being released. I was literally taking a shit in my bathroom. And as soon as he hung up, I just started laughing. I was like, okay, all right, this is what they think, huh? We're going to see. And guess what? We done seen and we're going to keep seeing. I told everybody during them 90 days when I couldn't go out and do nothing, I said, I'm going to be everywhere. I'm a man of my word. I've been everywhere and I'm not stopping. Now, we just getting started. I don't even got a title on no show yet. We just getting started. This thing is just kicking off. So like what I'm doing at TNA, what I'm doing NWA, what I'm doing MLW, like what I'm doing every other independent promotion. This is just getting started. We got a long way to go. And the crazy thing is, I'm not going to stop. And that's because I have the supreme confidence in myself. I've believed in myself ever since day one. I had that confidence when you first met me back then, and I ain't know nothing. You want to know why I have a supreme confidence in myself, John? For real? When you met me, that day that you met me in Devon Dudley Academy, since that day, I use all the same moves. I use all the same catchphrases. I use all the same promo ideas. Nobody's ever wrote a promo for me. Nobody's ever came up with a move for me that I had to do. And that was what, 5 years ago?
6 years ago.
6 years ago? Mm-hmm. And nobody ever did shit for me in this whole industry, except for like, put a good word in. As far as we talk about writing promos, coming up with concepts for characters, wrestling matches, putting moves, coming up with cool ways to stick, nobody ever did nothing for me. So why would I give a damn what anybody say? And why would I not have supreme confidence in myself?
Sure.
The problem is these other guys, they listen to any and everything and they get, because for example, I'll give you an example. And I'm going to say their names because I have nothing but the utmost respect for them. But they both have respect for me. Last week, what it'll air today on TNA, but we had the match. I had my match with Joe Hendry. And we were bouncing ideas off of people. And I talked to Gail Kim and I talked to Lance Storm. Both incredible performers, right? So, like, but they both had different ideas. So it's like, if you don't have that confidence in yourself to decipher what should we do,
you get stuck.
You get stuck in the middle and you don't do anything right. You see what I'm saying? So it's like that's not saying that Gail's idea was better or that Lance's idea was better. It's just like my big thing, and I tell people this all the time, is like if you are really a true professional wrestler, you're an artist. And when you get on that canvas, bars, right? When you get on that canvas, can't nobody tell you how to paint. They can tell you what to paint. They can say, this is the picture that we need. But if you listen to someone telling you how to paint, they need to just paint it.
Yeah.
Let's take a pause because this episode of Strictly Business is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex, gents. Remember the days when you're always ready to go? Well, now you can increase your performance to get that extra confidence in bed. Here's how you do it. BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is so simple. You sign up at BlueChew.com. You consult with one of their licensed medical providers. And once you're approved, you're going to receive your prescription within days. The best part, it's all done online. So there's no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the United States of America and prepared and shipped directly to your door in a discreet package. What better way to celebrate Netflixing and chilling with WWE Raw on your television than by popping a Blue Chew? It's going to be easier than ever before. And whether Raw is a 2-hour show or a 3-hour show, you're going to be able to get your action in and see all the action on your television screen or wherever you are streaming this show. Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options now at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. We got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code WrestleBiz at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code WrestleBiz, WrestleBiz, to receive your first month absolutely free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast.
No, I mean, that's a great way to look at it, too, especially when you can translate that art into tangible business, right? Like that's, again, direct to consumer. You're creating that. So, I mean, have you thought about how you monetize wrestling these days, like other than just showing up and getting a payday from a company? Have you explored any other ideas with that?
Yeah, I do merch numbers everywhere I go. It's great. Also, on top of that, you know, the funny thing is, like, I leverage the things that I do in wrestling with the things that I do outside of wrestling. Like, the reason why DJ Who Kid comes to all, has been to TNA and has been to GCW, is because we have a song together. Like, right? So, like, my entrance song, he's on it. So, like, he's an integral part of what I'm doing outside of wrestling. Bun B, I was just at Bun B's Houston Rodeo Show in Houston. I'm getting him involved in my wrestling. And it's because we have a special connection outside of wrestling. And because of that, he wants to be involved with what I'm doing, just like I'm going to be involved in what he's doing. All the things that I, like when I hosted WWE's Most Wanted Treasures, like that is part of my reel, right? Like that's a huge part of my reel. And it also establishes, like, funny thing is, like, I hosted TV shows for 10 years before that, but like I did that. And like, it's a huge thing because it was such a big hit show, right? So like there's ways to leverage things outside of wrestling, but the funny thing is like people are more cared about wrestlers care more about drop down, leapfrog, arm drag than they do anything I just told you.
So how do you get that mentality then to change in the industry? I know that's not like a paramount for you to change the perception within the industry. I know you're very focused on maximizing your abilities and talents, but I mean, do you think that's something that can change within the industry?
Yeah, but I don't think it'll change in my lifetime. I think the people that run the industry have a very focused idea of what wrestling is. You know, I'll give you a perfect example. When I was in WWE, I don't know if I ever told you this story, but when I was in WWE, when I first came back, we started this little angle with Legado del Fantasma and the Viking Raiders. And Hit Row, we were baby faces, which was a terrible idea. We should have been heels from the jump. But we were baby faces, and we kept getting jumped. Legado jumped us to debut. Viking Raiders jumped us to come back. They kept jumping us, kept kicking our ass, right? So I pitched this idea of an idea that would have gotten so much mainstream attention to SmackDown on the hip hop and sports initiative. The idea, and I had all the people were involved. So it just so happened that we were coming up on a show in Buffalo. And I have homeboys that I played with in high school, college, and the NFL that are on the Bills. And I also am cool with West Side Gunn and Conway the Machine, Griselda, who are famously from Buffalo. And the idea was, we keep getting sneak attack jumped, so have the Viking Raiders and Legado have a match in the middle of the ring. And during the match, Hit Row comes out the crowd, and they look at each other in the ring like, we don't have to fight each other, let's all jump them. But as soon as they go to do that, the Buffalo Bills jump over the barricade. And then Griselda jumps over the barricade. And now we have in Buffalo, as babyfaces, the backup of Griselda, the biggest music thing that's ever come out of Buffalo, and of the Buffalo Bills, who are the most beloved team in Buffalo, right? And then we would all be standing there, and because the heels are in the ring, they would powder out and go to the ramp, and then we would take the ring with the Buffalo Bills and Griselda and have a victorious moment without ever having to bump anybody or do anything. It would have been perfect. World Star Hip Hop would have covered that. BET would have covered that. ESPN would have covered that. All the sports outlets would have covered that. It would have been huge. We weren't even booked on that show. They still made sure to use my friends from the Bills. They still reached out. Hey, are your friends still coming to the show? They still made sure. Go back and watch that show if I'm lying. Go watch it. Go watch it if I'm lying, right? So, like these are the ideas that I've been trying to push wrestling forward. I've been trying to do that. Yeah. Every other hip-hop act ever in the history other than R-Truth, and even R-Truth said himself, he don't like to involve his hip hop. He told me himself, he don't like to involve his hip hop in his character because his character is not the kind of hip hop artist that he actually is. Right?
Makes sense.
Hit Row was the first hip hop act that wasn't like, yo, yo, hey, what's up, man? It's hip hop.
Yeah. It wasn't a stereotype. Oh, yeah. It was very real. Yeah. It was very authentic.
It was real. B-Fab literally went on tour with Juicy J. I literally had three albums. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was real. It was real. And that was the problem. I genuinely believe that was the problem, is that every other hip-hop act ever in wrestling the way that it's digested is, yo, yo, I'm rapping like, yo. Eh. And it's not, that's just not real hip hop. So it's like when you try to give something to people that don't understand and appreciate what you're doing, they're not going to accept it, right? Which is fine. We didn't want them to accept it. We wanted, that would made us better heels. But we never got the mic. There's a microphone in the middle of the Hit Row logo, and we never got the mic. So it's like, how can you be a rapper without a mic? That's why, I don't know if you've noticed, but like now I don't even put my rap videos out anymore.
No, you haven't.
Only thing I put out rap is my actual rap singles. I cut promos now because I'm tired of people who don't understand that rap is promo, just a harder promo because it rhymes on a beat. All of my rap videos were in character. Like, I'm tired of people pretending I couldn't promo because all they see me do is rap. So now all I do is promo, and now you have no excuse.
Looking to refresh your closet, home, or beauty routine this spring? Walmart's got all the stylish goods in one stop. From chic new looks and the latest makeup to quality furniture and tableware. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending for the hottest fashion, home, and beauty finds. Your style at Walmart.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So what's the end goal here, AJ? I mean, is the end goal sticking around in wrestling for the foreseeable future? You've done so many things. I mean, College Game Day spots. Like, what is the idea here? Do you want to try and transcend pro wrestling? Is full-time sports media in the future for you? Because you have so much versatility in your background that you could offer in that sense.
I never felt the need to stop doing any of them. There's a reason why as soon as I got released from WWE, you saw me everywhere doing everything. It's because I've always had the ability to go on these shows and do these things. The only reason I haven't done it is because I didn't want to ruffle any feathers in WWE. Like, you have to ask for permission to do everything in WWE. I don't need permission no more. Like, if I want to do, you know, Big Noon Kickoff on Fox for the Maryland game, I just show up. I don't have to ask one person who asks another person to get approval from another person or for them to be like, well, no, we don't want you to do that. And then now I can't do a big opportunity because what? You see what I'm saying? Like, I am at the point now where, like, wrestling is one of the many things that I do, right? And wrestling is something that I love doing. And I'm not going to stop wrestling anytime soon. Now where I wrestle is determined by who cuts the check. And I was just backstage at Raw literally on Monday. I was in town for Bun B's Houston Rodeo. Bun B invited me to his show, so I pulled up because that's my OG. And while I was at the rental car place, the guy who was giving me my car was a fan. And he said, yo, Top Dollar, you coming back tonight? And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? He's like, Raw's in Houston. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, Raw's in Houston. So Raw just happened to be in Houston. I text Triple H. I said, yo, I'm just trying to come back, say, see the guys. You know what I'm saying? It's not that big a deal. Like, I'm not out here trying to, like, yo, bring me back right now. Like, I'm not doing that. I'm just trying to see the guys, right? That's all my friends, all my people I work with. And he set it up, you know, and I was able to go backstage. And everybody that I saw, from Paul Heyman to Jey Uso to Triple H to Road Dogg to, you know, to Becky Lynch to Cody Rhodes to Seth Rollins to Tommaso Ciampa, you know, Finn Balor, everybody, Jinder Mahal, Drew McIntyre, everybody that saw me, it was nothing but love. It was nothing but, I'm so happy for you. You're killing it. Hope to see you back here soon. Paul Heyman literally came up and gave me a hug. He said, "My day has been made seeing that you're here." So that's great. Like, that's great. It's like, I know that the people there that I worked with know how talented I am and how good I am, and that I should still be there. But through no fault of my own, I'm not. And here's the thing. That's cool. Do your thing. The WWE does not need me. It don't need nobody. It's a well-oiled machine. I'm one spoke on the wheel. The wheel going to keep turning. Shout out CM Punk, right? But, like, that's another example right there. CM Punk is back there, too. So it's like, you never know what the future holds. But sure. what I know is that I'm not waiting around for that either.
Well, that's exactly it. It's like you just got that recognition on your own terms. Like, those people mm-hmm. came up to you and they're like, "Man, like, you're doing things how you want to do it." And it's funny, AJ, when I started working in pro wrestling full time after being in TV news for so long, I was like, "This is so great. This is so great." And then, you know, the industry kind of twists and turns you a little bit. And I don't want to say you become jaded, but you're like,
"Man, you definitely become jaded."
I was trying to be more complimentary to the people around me, but like, you start craving, like, "Oh man, what if I could do some of those other things too and still have this?" So now I'm back in the realm of being able to kind of do everything, and wrestling is part of it. That almost has made me love wrestling even more, that it's just a small part of what I do. Do you feel that now that you're able to do more things too?
No, honestly, what's funny is, like, wrestling has always been one of the things that I do.
Mm-hmm.
It was never, even when I was in WWE, this is my weekly schedule. On Monday, I would go to Open Ring at the PC. Tuesday, I'd work out. Wednesday, I'd work out. Thursday, I would work out and fly to whatever city we're going to be in. Friday, I would do SmackDown. Saturday, I would fly home. And Sunday, I would just chill. And then I would start over again. I was really on, like, other than Mondays and Thursday, Friday, when I'm on the road, like, a lot of times I wasn't doing the road loops. I wasn't on Raw. So, like, sure. I was only doing, like, realistically, 2-3 days a week was all I was doing wrestling. And every other day I'm making music, shooting music videos, doing sports podcasts, talking to my friend, playing video games. Like, so, like, now wrestling, now that I'm on the independence, wrestling is actually a more active part of my That's life great. because now every Thursday I'm traveling, Friday I got a show, Saturday I got a show, most Sundays I have a show, and then Monday I go home. So, like, you know, and then, like, today's Thursday, and I'm doing media with you because I like you. But normally I would tell people kick rocks. You know what I'm saying?
Well, for those not aware, my StreamYard here that we're recording with has crashed like 5 times during the course of this. So AJ really must like me and Eric Bischoff specifically. So I appreciate that. Hey, listen, man, soon you're going to be doing conventions where you'll be doing lines 5 times Eric Bischoff's size, you know?
Man, I mean, I don't know if I ever get 5 times Eric Bischoff, but I ain't going to lie. My lines at these conventions be good. I got a convention coming up Saturday. I'm at the big event in New York. So it's like,
but that's a whole other way to monetize too, that you never had a chance to do before, right?
No, well, I did do it because when we got released a previous time and brought back 9 months later. So that 9 months, I did WrestleCon, and we did astronomical numbers. And that's why I'm excited for WrestleCon and all these conventions, because, like, we was doing crazy numbers and I was splitting that with Tahuti and Bree.
Now
it's just dollar. Every dollar goes to dollar.
But there is something really special too about connecting with the fans at that level. Like, you are going to have some wild and wacky fans for sure who are there Absolutely. To give you shit. But
you know, it's funny. It's crazy. It's like, I tell people this all the time. It's the truth. It's crazy. Like, I played 6 years in the NFL. I was in WWE for 3 years. Top dollar, obviously. Member of Hit Row. And I get recognized for that damn Most Wanted Treasure show more than anything else. People love to tell me about Most Wanted Treasures. I'm telling you, the perfect demographic for Most Wanted Treasures is TSA agents. I get stopped by TSA agents for that damn show So much. And a lot of times, you know, I'm pretty good at getting to the airport with time to spare because I'd rather be an hour early than 1 minute late. So I usually take my time out. But sometimes things happen outside of my control, and I don't want to have this conversation with you about, you know, Bob Backlund put me in a chicken wing in his basement when I got to hurry up and make this flight. So, you know, it's really crazy the different way that fans interact with me when I meet them. And I'm very much looking forward to keep doing it.
That's great. Well, I'm really proud of you, man. And, you know, it's funny. You've always been someone to draw attention to yourself. And I think in pro wrestling, while there may be some people who look at that negatively, I think it's only paid dividends for you where you're creating opportunities. You're creating opportunities outside of pro wrestling. And now you're using it in a way where you can work with some other people and they may get something out of it too. I really mm-hmm. enjoyed your work with Joe Hendry and the stuff you're doing in TNA. And, the possibilities are endless for you. So I'm wishing you nothing but the best. I'm super appreciative that you hopped on Strictly Business with me, especially with Eric off this week. Where can people find you coming up? Any appearances that you want to plug or social stuff?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be at TNA in Philly next weekend. I'm going to be I got my first cage match ever, CCW, in April. I'm doing NWA. I'm doing MLW on the 29th. I'm doing the Square Circle Expo in Indianapolis. I'm doing a lot of different stuff, big NY this weekend, big event NY in New York this weekend. ACW in Maryland this weekend is already sold out. So if you want to stand at the door and hear me tear the roof off the joint, you can. So it's going to be a good time, man. I'm just blessed, man. I'm traveling, having fun, and making money.
That's great, man. Really appreciate your time here on Strictly Business. He is AJ Francis. You can find him at AJFrancis410 on the X. AJ, appreciate your time, man.
Appreciate you, brother.
Great stuff from AJ. Really appreciative of his time. I had some major computer issues during the recording of that interview, but I'm glad we were able to work it out. I'm grateful for him for sticking it out. I think he's someone that a lot of people can learn from. I know he comes across with a lot of bravado and confidence, but I think confidence is key in wrestling and promoting yourself as an entity. So kudos to him. Always enjoy chatting with him, and best of luck to him, especially as he heads into a busy WrestleMania weekend. And speaking of WrestleMania weekend, a couple WWE news I want to bring up here. GCW Bloodsport, that's Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. Sean Ross Sapp was first to report that WWE talent would be working on this show. And as we record this, Shayna Baszler has been announced for it, which is pretty wild to see this collaboration between WWE and Josh Barnett here. Shayna Baszler fits perfectly with Bloodsport. We've seen instances of her there before. It's, for those who don't know what Bloodsport is, it's an event where the ropes are taken off the ring, and it's very like underground style fighting. Very cool event, unique event. Speedball Mike Bailey versus Nick Nemeth, the former Dolph Ziggler, is going to be on the show. And Sean said multiple talents were going to be involved. So let us know who you would like to see involved in a show like this. I think this speaks to Vince McMahon being gone, because I don't think you'd see a collaboration like this at all if Vince were still involved. But with him no longer being part of the equation, maybe you'll see more exchanges like this, more opportunities for talent to get some reps WrestleMania weekend, especially if they're not going to be on the WrestleMania card. And I think that's good for the industry too. I think it brings more eyes to those indie promotions. I think it gives these WWE talents some different types of reps that they might not be getting otherwise. To me, that's a good thing all the way around. And then the last thing that I want to get to here, we did get news from Front Office Sports, Brandon Thurston, our past guest, part of this reporting here. That WWE President Nick Khan and COO Brad Bloom were identified as corporate officers number one and two, respectively, in the sex trafficking lawsuit that had been filed by Janelle Grant and her lawyers against Vince McMahon. Stephanie McMahon was identified as corporate officer number three. Janelle Grant's lawyer did confirm to Front Office Sports that these were the individuals being referred to. It is important to note that corporate officers number one, two, and three, none of them were accused of any sexual misconduct or violence. However, they were accused of being parties that facilitated and covered up exploitation, rather, that would make the company liable under any potential federal trafficking laws. Again, these are all allegations, but those were the three names that did come up as listed officers for this. It does not exonerate anyone. You know, a lot of people have been talking about Paul Levesque being involved in this. You know, as things stand, he's not someone involved in this. Does that mean in the future that there could be more developments that unveil anyone involved? Absolutely. This is clearly a story that is just subject to change as we're learning. We don't know who's involved in full. These are all allegations at this point. Nothing has gone to public discovery yet. So before anyone puts the cart before the horse, we don't know anything. And I know there were a lot of people jumping to conclusions based off this report. All we know is that Janelle Grant's lawyer confirmed that those were the people identified as the previously unidentified officers. So that is still subject to change. We're anticipating Eric to be back next week, and we'll be back to business here on the business of the business, of course, on Strictly Business. I'd love for you guys to be part of this show. Again, as I said, it's one of the top shows in all the pro wrestling industry for podcasts. AdvertiseWithEric.com is going to be the place to be for that. Get your business, get your product out in front of thousands of listeners every single week right here on Strictly Business. I'm John Alba. That does it for us here on Strictly Business. We will see you next time.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is that, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.